This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Another reminder of there's nothing worse than hope, as what is unfolding in the Twin Cities is the clear presence of that. Minnesota just squandered a double-digit lead to Iowa. Iowa 20-5 run, took the lead 64-63. Minnesota then comes down, and Jalen Crocker Johnson 0-for-4 from 3. Now 1-for-5 from 3. Barry's
he's
a 3.
Wide open. He was wide open at the top, and, you know, guys, you leave a guy wide open from the top, Tim, you could knock down that shot. That was my favorite spot to shoot threes, was from the top, and he had no defender anywhere around him, so a bit of a defensive breakdown. Then Iowa compounds the issue, the problem, and takes a bad three on the other end.
That was surprising to me. Yeah, that was that was surprising, Matt.
And all the way back to take the lead and then blow the game just like that in the final minute. That's disappointing. But that's life on the road, and it's, like I said, it's tough to bet road favorites in college hoops.
35 seconds to go. 19th-ranked Iowa. Right now, down by 4 to Minnesota, and we will see what happens here on this possession for Ben McCollum's squad, who came all the way back but let it slip through their fingertips. Houston, by the way, in our primetime game of the night, leading Texas Tech 27-23 is the score. Houston with the lead over Texas Tech. We'll talk a little wild card weekend. David Bearman going to join us coming up in less than 15 minutes. Still to come tonight, we've got three games in the Mountain West that you and I, Matt, always enjoy betting in that conference, as a corner three is no good for Iowa. And we're going to get a foul? I don't know what we're going to get. Maybe jump ball?
What you're going to get is a Minnesota win. Because if it's a jump ball, it's possession Minnesota. So just pay attention to something else. Shift our focus.
That is very very positive right now.
What do you want to do?
About what?
You want to be positive about a team down 4 that doesn't have the ball with 20 seconds left?
What? Nope, not anymore. Jump ball, Minnesota will have it. By the way, we're getting late movement here on San Diego State. The Aztecs getting bet now to the favorite. Nevada was the favorite just a little while ago, and late movement here on the Aztecs coming off of a triple overtime win over Boise State. I bet Nevada last night at a pick, so we'll see. Late steam coming in here on San Diego State. That game tipping off at 11 p.m. Eastern time in Reno. Steve Alford's squad, a slight dog now at home to San Diego State.
I'm not too worried about that. Steve Alford's team was a slight dog at home to Boise on December 20th, too. I played Nevada that night, I think a 3.5-point dog. Nevada won that game down two players, two of the better players, and won the game 81-66. And hopefully Alford can do the same thing tonight. Here, I just think it's a really bad spot for the Aztecs. I was talking about the game Saturday night, Boise at San Diego State. Aztecs are up 23 early in the second half. They blow the lead. You know they can go through long scoring droughts, and that's what happened in the second half. Boise started knocking down threes. All of a sudden, you got a triple overtime game that San Diego State was lucky to win 110-107. B.J. Davis, who's San Diego State's best player, he played 41 minutes in that game, Tim. He had 22-11-6. I got to think, even if the Aztecs aren't a little bit tired, it's going to be a bit of a letdown spot coming off that big win over Boise State. To me, this was a situational play about as much as anything.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think this Nevada team is capable of pulling it off. Hey, the Boise team that made the big comeback against San Diego State is the same Boise team that Nevada beat by 15 on this floor 2 weeks ago.
31-26, Houston with a 5-point lead over Texas Tech. Iowa just hit a 3 to cut the deficit down to 1, 68-67 in that one. There's a review. I believe a foul was on Iowa. How about this, Matt? The situation is getting pretty ugly, it would seem, in the Pacific Northwest. Damon Williams, the quarterback of Washington, he had reportedly signed a contract to come back next year. Now he is headed into the transfer portal, and Pete Thamel of ESPN is reporting that Washington sources say they are prepared to pursue all legal avenues to enforce Damon Williams' signed contract. The situation with Damon Williams and his signed contract at Washington has drawn the attention of the Big Ten. Per ESPN sources, the Big Ten was vocal in Xavier Lucas's controversial transfer to Miami from Wisconsin, supporting Wisconsin and trying to enforce the contract. So we will see how this one plays out. It's this day and age in college football and a bizarre happening. Damon Williams entered the portal with a do not contact me message, meaning that he's got a team that he is lined up to go to, probably for a pretty hefty sum, Matt. And we'll see how this ultimately plays out. And this is this day and age now. Things are pretty ugly in the portal nowadays.
Well, it's just a bad move by the quarterback, Damon Williams, and his agent. Why did you sign the deal on January 2nd if you're going to renege on the deal 5 days later, 4 days later? It just doesn't make any sense. What are you doing?
And if you're the agent, right? Didn't you know that there would be offers out there? So
of course you
don't
did.
Sign the deal. Wait to sign the deal. I'm sure there was pressure from Washington to make him sign said deal as a miss three from Iowa. And they might get another look here. Oh man.
Out.
One last shot at the buzzer. Sure. Oh man.
Iowa had 3 3-point attempts.
Three looks at a three. And guess what number I took in game, Matt?
3.5.
2.5. So that would be a loser.
Tough luck, Tim.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Minnesota, 70-67 win over Iowa. Iowa comes all the way back.
Court storm tonight, Minneapolis. Look
that
at that.
Sad court storm.
I know. Well, when you beat the 19th-ranked team, you're probably thinking, should we storm the court or not? Yeah, why not? What the hell? Let's do it. Minnesota doesn't win many games anymore in hoops. Big games, that's a rivalry game tonight. You're knocking off an Iowa team. What's Iowa got? One loss in the season?
I believe.
Now two?
Yeah.
Now two, right?
Nico Medved, he's a good coach, and gets a big win for Minnesota as they hold on and beat Iowa as home dogs tonight. Iowa gets their third loss of the season and their second in conference play. They lost to Michigan State,
that's right.
Iowa State, and now Minnesota. That's a bad loss for Iowa. Three looks at a three. And just come up short. Do the Iowa Hawkeyes, man, your heart had to be in your throat if you're Nico Medved with those looks from Minnesota. But because there's nothing worse than hope, all three come off the iron, Matt.
Houston Cougars struggling here, too. We got 4 seconds left in the first half, and this game is tied at 31 with Texas Tech. Tim, I don't think I've ever told you, the first time I ever had a Chick-fil-A sandwich was at what used to be known as Hoffheinz Pavilion in Houston.
I did not know that about Human's history.
Yeah, it's now called the Fertitta Center. Back in the day, it was known as Hoffheinz Pavilion. It's very dimly lit. It's dark in there. UNLV, coached by Lon Kruger, went to Houston when I was covering the team in December of 2006. It was a two-game trip from Lubbock to Houston right after Christmas. And UNLV went to Lubbock and beat Texas Tech the night Bob Knight was trying to get his record-setting win. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, UNLV pulled the upset. Then went to Houston to play a couple days later. I think it was on December 30th. And I walked in the media room. There's nobody in there. Obviously, not a lot of media cared about the UNLV-Houston game on December 30th. But there were two giant boxes of sandwiches. I'd never had this stuff before. Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches. So I got one out and ate it. Damn, this is incredible. So I put about 10 of those chicken sandwiches in my backpack. And ever since that day, I love Chick-fil-A. That was where I discovered it. In the media room, there's nobody in there, just two giant boxes of chicken sandwiches.
You know,
when's the first time you had Chick-fil-A? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I do remember when I worked for the Aberdeen Ironbirds, Matt. I was the voice of the single-A Aberdeen Ironbirds of the Orioles, and I would get a ticket to the suite level to eat during the game, but all the interns got Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Oh, wow.
Well, I made sure every day to go down and make sure I grabbed me a couple Chick-fil-A sandwiches so I had a little snack. So I don't know. I have to think back to when my – because Chick-fil-A wasn't that big in the D.C. area until maybe college, so maybe 15 years ago.
I mean, it was pretty big in the South, but unless you were in the South, you didn't really see Chick-fil-A much of anywhere. Obviously, it's expanded coast to coast now. By the way, speaking of this situation with Washington quarterback Damon Williams, at this point, if you're Jed Fish, how can you even bring this guy back?
I know.
Yeah, he obviously doesn't want to be there.
You're going to sue him to come back?
Sue him. We're going to force you to play quarterback for us next season. This is a mess, complete mess. You got to let him go.
Yeah, and curious what that school is that clearly has called on him. Is it Florida? Is it Florida State? Who knows? By the way, I'm upset, Matt. There was a good situational spot today. Over the weekend, Central Florida beat Kansas at home. They were on the road tonight. Slight dogs at Oklahoma State, and the Pokes are going to get it done. They're up 10 right now on UCF. So sometimes you got to scour the whole board and try to find those spots. That was a good one to back Oklahoma State. I did not do so, and the Pokes are going to get a win over 25th-ranked UCF off of their win this past weekend over Kansas. Speaking of Kansas, they are in the lead at the half. They were trailing for most of the first half, but they end the half on a decent run. They lead TCU right now 41-36. Darren Peterson, 14 points. They said he might have limited minutes tonight. Well, Matt, 16 minutes, that's not limited, and 14 points there for Darren Peterson and the Kansas Jayhawks. Right now, folks, is the best time for bettors. The all-new Boomer Sportsbook is bringing you the action, football, hockey, basketball, and more. Make sure you use the code VSIN250 when you sign up for a Boomer's mobile account, and they'll match your first deposit up to $250, plus minus 105 on all pro football spreads. Download the Boomer Sportsbook app today. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. Let's talk to David Behrman. Break down Wild Card Weekend next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSIN Pro.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
It is VSIN Primetime as we keep it rolling. Interesting night in college basketball. Impressive second half from the Duke Blue Devils as they outscored Louisville by 20. To get a victory on the road. We also saw the untouchable Michigan Wolverines look vulnerable tonight in Happy Valley as they won by just 2 as 24.5-point favorites. Penn State, I would say, not the greatest final play.
One of the worst.
Of the ball game. Had the ball and a chance to win. Halftime in Houston. Late steam came in on the Cougars, Matt. They closed 8-point favorites at circa 7.5 market wide. Tie ball game, 31-31, Houston and Texas Tech. All right, monster weekend of college football and NFL football, of course, coming up. And David Behrman has been joining us all throughout the football season, betting with Behrman. You can follow him on Twitter, at David Behrman. David, always appreciate you jumping on, as always. And let's jump right into it. You've got some total plays. We know which way you like to normally bet these totals. So let's head to Philadelphia. We've seen a little bit of under money come into the market on Philly and San Francisco. I know you took 45 under. Right now it looks like 44.5, mostly market-wide. What do you make of this spot on Sunday afternoon in Philly?
Yeah, this was the toughest one for me. You know, I like playing the unders, and this one was barking at me, but I also know that the Niners defense can absolutely put up a dud and allow a million points. The problem is they're facing an Eagles offense that just hasn't figured it out yet this season. Every couple of weeks we say the Eagles are going to figure it out. They just haven't. The offense is 18th or worst in every offensive category. They've scored more than 21 points twice since their week 9 bye, 31 against the hapless Raiders and 29 versus the Commanders a few weeks ago, and that took 2 fourth quarter touchdowns. So the offense just isn't very good. The Niners defense played well against Seattle. but then plays bad occasionally as well. There's injuries across the board, and the Niners' offense is pretty good, but also beat up as well. So really, I think this game comes down to how the Niners are going to play. I expect it to be closer than people think. And this Eagles team, listen, I was on the under last week in the Eagles-Commanders game saying that, hey, they only went over 2 weeks earlier because of the fourth quarter. Well, it happened again because Josh Johnson decided to run for a touchdown instead of settle for the field goal, and we got burned there. But if you look at the last nine Eagles games since that bye week, it's gone over this 45 number just once, and that was in that Washington game where they scored two late touchdowns. So even when the Eagles have the offense going, they're just not scoring in bunches. So we're going to play the under in this one. Obviously, 45 better than 44.5, but we still like it and just hope they don't light up the scoreboard in this one.
All right, Sunday night in Foxborough, fascinating matchup. Chargers-Patriots. You got Justin Herbert, Drake May, Jim Harbaugh, Mike Vrabel, two pretty good defenses. Numbers 3.5. I'm seeing 47 out there at the South Point, the highest number on the total. If you're betting with Bierman, how are you going to play Chargers-Patriots?
You know I'm going under on this one. I like this one even more than the Niners, Eagles one. This was the first one that I took, 47, 46.5. Seven of the last eight Chargers games didn't get to this 47 number, and the two before that were 47 exactly. So we're talking about nine of the last 10 games had no more than this listed 47, and the one that did was against the Cowboys, one of the better offenses in football and a team with one of the worst defenses in football that played the most overs of any team. Now, the Patriots do rank second in scoring, but look who those points were against. And again, we're not trying to harp on the Patriots schedule that's been beaten to death, but if you're going to tell them that they're second in scoring, that's against some of the worst defenses like the Dolphins and the Jets and the Ravens and the Giants and even the Bills, who have the second worst rush defense in the league. Chargers, ninth in scoring defense and fifth in total defense. And Matt, you just mentioned a minute ago, the Patriots also have a good defense, fourth in scoring and eighth in total defense. I know they played a couple bad teams, but if you look at the Chargers, their offensive line issues continue to hamper that offense, which is 21st in scoring offense, only scoring 21.5 per game. This to me is probably going to be the best game of the week. I expect it to be a low scoring affair with neither team getting a lot done on offense.
David Bierman joining us here, talking some wild card weekend, as we always love to break down the NFL card with David. Let's go to the early game on Sunday. We've got Buffalo and Jacksonville. This game kind of all over the place here at Circa. It's a pick 'em. DraftKings, FanDuel both have 1.5 in favor of the Buffalo Bills. So what do you make of this spot here? Jacksonville, 13-4 season, champions of the AFC South, and at some spots a home dog here to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I look at these two teams, and it's such a close matchup in terms of the point spread. You said it's a pick 'em in some places, 1.5 in other places. I just think the Jacksonville Jaguars are the better team here. Anybody who's watched these two teams play over the last couple of weeks, it's been the Jags that have been one of the more impressive teams, while the Bills team snuck by the Bengals with a defensive touchdown, barely beat the Browns. They were dominated by for three quarters at home versus the Eagles in a game last week. I just don't think this Bills team is quite as good as the Bills teams of the past that have been considered Super Bowl contenders. Now they got to play three games on the road, which they haven't done because they've won the division the last 5 years. Their strength has been rushing. They're one of the top rushing teams in the league at 160 yards per game, but who has the best rush defense in football? It's the team on the other side, the Jacksonville Jaguars, 85.5 yards per game allowed, and they have not allowed one running back this season to go over 75 yards, and that's a schedule that included Jonathan Taylor twice. You've watched Trevor Lawrence has been on a different planet the last couple of weeks with 15 touchdowns, interception, putting up MVP-type numbers. And I know people who are not playing the Jaguars say, oh, they're inexperienced, they haven't been there. Trevor Lawrence has one more playoff win than I do. And by the way, Liam Cohen, their coach, has been part of that Tampa Bay squad that won the playoffs three consecutive years as division champs. I just think they're peaking at the right time, and I just don't believe in this Buffalo team. So I'm going to take the points or just take the Jaguars outright as well.
David Bierman, how are things going with the FanDuel shows? Did Doug Kazarian, the betting bully, give out any winners on today's today's show?
Yet to be determined. The betting bully gave out Utah State minus 100,000 points, and they're currently playing Air Force. He's also on the Mavericks later tonight. And breaking news, Matt Eumanns will be making an appearance on FanDuel Sports Network on Thursday. I believe the entire world is anticipating that one.
I'll see if I can find a few winners. All right, how about Packers-Bears? Can you make any sense of this matchup? Part 3 in Chicago on Saturday night. And the number is now moved here at Circuit of Green Bay, 1.5-point favorite, David.
If it keeps moving that way, I'm going to hop on the Bears. It's not really a game that I have much interest in because either team could win it. We've seen them split the season series. It goes back to what I said about Jacksonville and Buffalo. One team's playing good right now, and one team just ended on a 4-game losing streak getting beat up along the way. I don't like what I see out of the Packers, but if you were to tell me the Packers flipped the switch and won the NFC, I wouldn't be surprised either. It's a stay away for me. If the line keeps moving, I'm eventually going to want to take the home team in Chicago, who, although people don't believe in them, they're a lot better than people think they are. They play that game against San Francisco. They easily could have won, and we could be sitting here talking about the Bears being one seed instead of Seattle.
I'm going to steal a question that Will Hill always likes to ask. If I gave you $100, David Bearman, I went into Matt Newman's wallet right now. He's got a lot of hundreds in there. And I gave you one of those $100 based off of the bracket and how it all played out. Is there a team that you're interested in from a future standpoint right now?
I said it in August, and I'll say it again. I'm not changing my mind. The Los Angeles Rams are the Super Bowl champs this year. I think they're the best team top to bottom. They got the quarterback. They got talent all over the board on both sides. They got a coach that's won a Super Bowl before. I'm going to stay with them. I know they didn't get the one seed, didn't win the division. They kind of let that go in that 16-point fourth quarter blown lead, and then the overtime that happened for Seattle. I still think now that they got the 5 seed and they're going to go to Carolina and win, they get the rematch potentially with Seattle, who I think they outplayed both times they played them. I still am a believer in the Rams, and I have absolutely no idea who's coming out of the AFC, so we're going to stick with Matt Heumann's $100 after we buy him some McDonald's, Taco Bell, and Five Guys, and we're going to stick it on the Los Angeles Rams.
And Chick-fil-A, as we learned. Big fan of Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A as well.
Well, I bet the Rams at 30-1, and I think late April or first week of May, right around the NFL draft. David, I'm just not crazy about the way the Rams are playing right now. Hopefully they can flip the switch, get Devontae Adams back, and look a lot better here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I just think they're the best team in football, and I know they had a couple of losses late, and the Falcons game bothered me more than the Seattle game they should have won. But if you look at what they've done all year long, they could have won every single game they played this year, losing on the field goal, the blocked field goal to Philadelphia, blowing the lead against San Francisco. We know about the debacle in Seattle. I just think they're the best team in football, and yeah, they don't have the same draw that they could have had with the one seed, but I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, Rams 3-3 in their last 6. But those 3 losses by a total of 7 points, including the game in Seattle that got hijacked by the officiating crew.
Correct.
So hopefully the Rams can pick it up and play a little bit better, though, especially defensively going into the playoffs. Tim?
David, great stuff. Always appreciate it. Best of luck with your bets.
I appreciate it. Make sure you tune into the Betting with Bearman podcast. We had friend of the program Chris Felica on today to talk about the college football semifinals.
Da Bear. Always great to hear from him. And he is going to make his picks later this week as he tries to chase down the one and only Chris Massaro. Matt, Georgetown Hoyas, once upon a time, that was a pretty darn good basketball program. They did something today that is hard to do. We will discuss that, as well as the latest on the Damon Williams saga at Washington. It is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime alongside Matt Newmans. I'm Tim Murray. As we got a bunch of college basketball going on, we have some best bets still tonight that we can discuss as a game tipping off at 11 p.m. Eastern time. Well, I heard a couple of our folks from the production side ask you, Matt, because you are the source when it comes to the Mountain West. Hey, do you like UNLV tonight? And you emphatically said, no, I do not like them. Well, so far, you are on the right side of not liking them. The Wyoming Cowboys and Sundance Wicks lead 20-8 right now, early on up there in Laredice.
Yeah, 20-8. UNLV just hit a 3 to cut it to 12 and got a stop. So we got a long way to go in this game, but a poor start for the Rebels tonight, and they don't shoot it well from 3. Bruce Marshall mentioned that when he was on with us the previous hour, and that's one thing. If you watch this UNLV team, 28% three-point shooting, Tim. That's not going to get it done in the way college basketball is played. right now. And I've seen better, much better UNLV teams go up to Laramie and get flattened. You know, it's you're playing at altitude. It's a tough trip up there. And UNLV off to a poor start tonight. This Texas Tech-Houston game, this is our game of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And the Red Raiders are hanging tough, just like our buddy Ryan Hyatt in Lubbock, Texas said. He's over there at Brian's Steakhouse, probably feeding his face, watching the game on at the bar.
Talking to Brendan Sorsby.
And the Houston Cougars up by 4, 2.5 minutes into the second half, 37-33.
Matt, earlier tonight, the Georgetown Hoyas went on the road to DePaul. And the Hoyas had a 35-32 lead at halftime. Pretty,
what could go wrong?
Pretty normal score there. And if you were sitting at home tonight wondering if you had a Georgetown ticket going into that second half, they were two-point dogs. Matt, then the second half happened, and this is something. Georgetown, as Jeff Borzello points out, went 1-for-23 in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Not from three, from the field. They made one shot in the final 23 minutes and 19 seconds. Their last made basket came with 10 minutes and 7 seconds to go. The Georgetown Hoyas did not win tonight. They lost 56-50, held to 15 points in the second half.
Irony in that is their coach can nail a kid in the face with a water bottle from 20 feet away.
He's got a great arm. Ed Gooley does.
The team can't shoot, but the coach can.
He was 1-for-1 that night, and Georgetown 1-for-23 tonight. Under 16 media timeout in Lawrence, Kansas. The TCU Horned Frogs not going anywhere, Matt. 49-49 is the score.
I don't know about you, Tim, but I don't think much of this Kansas team, and I think the Darren Peterson situation is not just a big distraction. It's just this team's not that talented, and at some point, don't you think Peterson's just going to pack it in and say, oh, I'm going to prepare for the NBA draft?
He's playing well tonight. He has 18 points so far tonight. He's dealt with some injuries and is playing well tonight, but Kansas and TCU tied up at 47.
Do you think he's the number one pick or not?
No.
Okay. A.J. DeBanza definitely.
I would say DeBanza, and then where's Boozer on that?
Boozer? I don't know.
Boozer had a hell of a night, by the way. If you missed it, Cameron Boozer and the Duke Blue Devils down 9 at the half, double digits deficit in the first half. Matt outscored Louisville by 20 in the second half. Duke improves to 14-1 and 3-0 in the ACC. Blue Devils will host SMU. Impressive win by SMU this past weekend over North Carolina. SMU currently ranked 24th. The Blue Devils will face Louisville again in just a couple of weeks. So, you know, unique scheduling. How about this, Matt? I kind of forgot about this. Duke plays Michigan in February. That's going to be a great
game.
Well,
I was going through the schedule trying to figure out who could beat Michigan. I did not think Penn State was going to be a team that had a shot to do it. But, Michigan's going to have to play at Purdue, got a game against Duke. There are not too many spots where the Wolverines could get tripped up on the schedule. You say that, and then obviously things change when you get through it. Who thought Penn State was going to have a last shot to beat Michigan tonight? So you never know when you get on the road in college hoops. Upsets can happen. And Michigan lucky to escape one tonight in State College, right?
Yeah, no doubt. 2-point victory there for the Wolverines.
Not too often you're going to see a 24-point favorite win by 2 and survive a last shot.
What do you think, man? A little road trip to the nation's capital, Duke, Michigan, February 21st?
Oh, is that where the game is?
Yeah. Might be able to hook us up with some tickets.
Nah, I don't want to go.
Five-hour flight.
I don't like traveling to the East Coast if I can avoid it.
You'd like to travel west
right
to Hawaii. If you're going to take a five-hour flight, you're going to Hawaii. But yeah, Duke, Michigan, that'll be a fun one. Capital One Arena. Definitely will be the best basketball you'll see in Capital One Arena this year.
You can take Greg Peterson with you.
I'm good. Greg's busy. He's got his podcast. I'm sure he'll be...
Take Greg and his girlfriend, and you guys can maybe drive the van cross country.
By the way, latest on the Damon Williams saga. So for those of you wondering...
Don't tell me it's Lane Kiffin.
That's the report, Matt.
Is it?
Yep. Matt Zenitz of CBS said LSU is expected to be a team to watch as a possibility with Washington quarterback transfer Damon Williams now in the portal, sources tell Matt Zenitz and Chris Hummer. Not a surprise there. I'm not blaming LSU. I had someone on Twitter say, oh, LSU, oh, the only one who tampers? I'm not blaming you. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Everybody tampers.
Everyone's
now.
Tampering nowadays. This is on Damon Williams and his agent, representation, whatever. Shouldn't have signed that deal. Had to know there would be bigger offers out there. He reportedly, not reportedly, he did. He signed a deal to stay at Washington. He has reneged on said deal. He is reportedly going to the portal. And the report from Zenitz, and by the way, Matt Zenitz is pretty top-notch when it comes to reporting on these types of things. LSU is expected to be a team to watch, and it's also worth noting Damon Williams went into the portal with a non-contact tag, meaning he knows where he's going. So this could get messy, man.
What a time to be alive as a college football quarterback, right? You got major programs bidding for your services. I mean, $5 million is going to be at least what Damon Williams is getting, don't you think?
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, Brendan Sorsby reportedly $5 million bucks to go to Texas Tech. I would imagine.
If you got LSU bidding for you right now, you're getting at least five, right?
Yeah, and especially desperation, right? Yeah. I mean, LSU wanted Sorsby. He didn't go there. He went to Texas Tech. I don't know what's going on with the Sam Levitt situation. He was on campus. Our buddy Jimmy Ott seemed to think that would ultimately come to fruition. Maybe if you look at Charlie Weiss Jr. and the offense that they have at Ole Miss with Trinidad Chambliss, do you get yourself a Trinidad Chambliss like Damon Williams? I think Damon Williams in that offense would be really exciting to see how it all would play out there. So I don't blame LSU, you know. I do think it's hilarious that it's Lane Kiffin. Of course, it's Lane Kiffin. But I don't blame LSU. I blame Damon Williams and his representation. Don't sign the deal. No one forced you to sign that deal. So it's going to get messy. I don't know how this ultimately plays out. Usually the players win out in these types of situations, Matt, but this is where we're at. But as from a betting standpoint, if you just remove all of this, because that's what we'd like to do, if it's Damon Williams down at LSU, that's a really fun fit down there with that offense. If you think about what Trinidad Chambliss was able to do in that offense.
Well, no question. I think Damon Williams, a dynamic playmaker who would make a big difference in Lane Kiffin's first year. I mean, what do you think he's worth to the win total of LSU? Let's just say you're putting it's hard to say putting an average quarterback in there. Because LSU's not going to have an average quarterback no matter what, but he's definitely worth a bump to the win total, right?
I would have a little bit
of a bump up.
Yeah, I mean, it is fair to ask, in the biggest games of the year, did he perform all that well? Ohio State, Oregon.
Well, it's true, too, but I hated the play calling.
Right.
You
got a much better play caller down in LSU with Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr.
Yeah, that's the thing. Damon Williams did not play as great as I thought he would this season, but the play calling by Washington a lot of times is head-scratching, to say the least. Tim, tell us about the sharp plays.
Well, before the line moves, Matt, the sharp plays are already there. January isn't about volume. It's about precision. NFL playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. Since 2011, the sharp plays have been backed that all up with their documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. Sharpplays.com, trusted by pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line this postseason. Visit sharpplays.com. TCU, Matt Eumanns, has taken a 9-point lead.
Horned Frogs looking like a sharp play tonight right now.
On the road at Fog Allen, they have outscored the Jayhawks 23-9 in the first 6.5 minutes of the second half.
See, that's what I was talking about with this Kansas team. I would not invest in any Kansas futures. I don't think this team's ceiling is that high, do you?
No, I do not. 37-35, this is a battle going on in Houston. The Cougars, a 2-point lead. Let's give you some best bets for the college football playoff and later tonight. Next.
Thank you. This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime as we've got plenty of college basketball going on across our television screens. The Los Angeles Lakers, by the way, came back and won tonight as both LeBron James and Luka Doncic ended up with 30 points this evening as the Lakers covered against the New Orleans Pelicans. Matt, I've been betting this angle pretty much every night in the NHL. I've been laying massive juice, plus 8.5 goals. It is a bet that cannot fail.
Have you bet that
every single night? Plus 8.5 goals. Wow. I mean, I lay about, you know, 10,000, but it never fails.
Except tonight.
The New York Islanders defeated the New Jersey Devils 9-0. Were you playing goalie?
Wow. That's pretty bad. That's when you say the goalie cannot stop a medicine ball.
I saw that score come across. I'm like, wait, am I seeing that right? By the way, the New Jersey Devils.
Hold on. I want to check and see if our buddy Ian Cameron,
the Canadian
very
kid,
very sharp hockey handicapper. I want to see if he had the Islanders.
While you looked that up,
okay.
The New Jersey Devils were the favorite in the game and lost 9-0 tonight against the New York Islanders.
I want to do an investigation of that. How about the integrity service might want to look into that game too?
Man. Insane. If you took alt goal line there on the New York Islanders, I don't know if it gets much easier than that. So there you go. Texas Tech, by the way, has taken the lead over Houston on the road here. So the Cougars, who were steamed up to about 7.5, 8-point favorites, struggling right now against the Red Raiders down there in H-Town. So Houston on the ropes a little bit here in this one, Matt.
Well, our buddy Ryan Hyatt in Lubbock said he made this number 3.5, and the market steamed it up from 6 to 8. And right now, Houston not playing like that betting action, that betting support was deserved. This Houston team, really good defensively. I mean, it's the same old story, but struggling on the offensive end, and we're seeing that tonight.
Matt, still to come tonight. It is the third game of a triple header on FS1. San Diego State and Nevada. Both you and I are on the Wolf Space Pack in this one, and the market is on the other side. Aztecs now a slight favorite, so a little bit of late love into the market on the San Diego State Aztecs.
Well, I am on Nevada, and I actually laid one last night. Now you could grab one, so don't have the best of the number here. But again, December 20th, that was when I bet Nevada as a 3.5-point home dog to Boise. Wolfpack were down a couple of players, good players, and won that game 81-66. 3-0 in the Mountain West, Steve Alford's team. Tim, to me, it's a situational play here, too, because we know very well what happened Saturday night in San Diego. Aztecs are up 23 early in the second half. They blew the lead, lucky not to lose in overtime, and ended up winning in three overtimes, 110-107. Well, a lot of times off a triple overtime game on the road, you're going to want to bet against that team. Not only that, Aztecs' best player, B.J. Davis, 41 minutes in that game. He had 22-11-6. He played lights out, but he played 41 minutes. I think this is a great spot to bet against the Aztecs. Hopefully it plays out that way, but obviously somebody in the betting market likes San Diego State.
You and I like to look at situations. I'm mad at myself for overlooking one tonight with Oklahoma State against UCF. UCF off the win over Kansas. But to your point, I watched that game. San Diego State blew a 20-point lead, wins it in triple overtime. Crazy game. I'll take Nevada as well. Like you said, I didn't get the best of the number, so we'll see if the market is accurate with this one. But hopefully they're not. We were both on Nevada.
The betting bully, Doug Kazarian, loves to bet against the bad teams. He's going to cash one tonight. How about Utah State's up 40 as a 21.5-point favorite? Aggies up 40 at Air Force.
How bad tonight is Air Force, Matt?
Very bad, Tim.
You came on my show on Saturday morning, which you can catch every Saturday, 9 to noon, and we'll be talking a lot of college basketball moving forward. And one of your best bets was the under in the UNLV Air Force game, Matt. Air Force scored 39 points in that game.
Yeah, I think 67-39.
That
UNLV
is right.
UNLV won that game. And the total when I bet it overnight was 144.5. I went to sleep for 90 minutes, woke up, did your show, and the total had dropped to 141.5. And Tim, it didn't matter. that game stayed under by about 40 points. This Air Force team, even if you like to bet dogs, that's a dog that's a little bit too ugly for me.
They will be 3-12 at the end of this one here tonight, Matt. And their offense, I imagine, will go down in adjusted efficiency, entering today 355 out of 365 teams. By the way, TCU.
Who's worse than Air Force? Do you have the list?
I could get you it.
Okay.
Yeah. The team's worse from an offensive rating standpoint.
Tonight, Georgetown was worse.
Georgetown was worse. Here we go. Ryder, New Hampshire. South Carolina State, St. Francis, who's going to be D3 next year, Stonehill, NJIT, Maine, Coppin State, Delaware State, and the Delta Devils of Mississippi Valley State, Matt.
Okay.
Mississippi Valley State, looking at their numbers right now, 365 out of 365 in offense, 362 out of 365 on defense. That's a recipe for a pretty good basketball team, I would imagine there. All right, Matt, before we get out of here, you and I will be back on prior to the Thursday night semifinal. We did record the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast earlier today. Make sure you check that out wherever you get your podcasts. Also on YouTube, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast. I'll give out the play that I gave out on the pod and gave out here last week. Oregon, Indiana, I like an under 47.5. The number is now back, so you're seeing a little bit of late movement back towards the over here. I did play a little bit on the first half under as well. 23.5 was the number I took in the first half, which I think is out there at a couple of spots. I fully anticipate this game to be a slugfest, similar to what it was in Autzen. You had a pick six that kind of changed things a little bit in that game from a scoring standpoint, but I liked what I saw from Oregon's defense. Also liked the dog a bit here in this one, waiting to bet it because there might be some fours here, but 47.5 for me under Oregon, Indiana, Matt.
Yeah, Ole Miss racked up nearly 500 total yards against that Georgia defense. Now, the Miami defense is better, especially the defensive front, but I think Trinidad Chambliss and Kawan Lacy are going to have some success here. I think they can move the ball. The Buckeyes moved the ball. They just broke down in the red zone too often. Chambliss threw for 362 against Georgia. Lacy had 98 yards rushing. I think this is going to be the game, Tim, where Carson Beck's going to be asked to make some plays. He really hasn't so far. 103 and 138 in terms of yards passing in the first two playoff games. Mark Fletcher's done most of the damage on the ground with 262 total yards rushing. Now, the Canes were dogs in the first two games. Now they flip to the favorites. I think Ole Miss has got a shot here, more than a puncher's chance, and I'm taking the 3.5. I don't love it, but I like it enough to bet it. I did take 3.5 with the Ole Miss today.
Yeah, 3.5 still out there, some threes. Curious to see how this one ultimately lands. Matt and I will be back on Thursday for this contest. We'll be on the air breaking it down, looking at some live betting angles. I did take a little first half under in Ole Miss Miami as well. Took under 26.5, which is out there right now at FanDuel. It's always a worrisome play considering what we saw from Ole Miss. I think this thing could open up second half. My gut tells me, Matt, first half Miami with that defense is going to try to make some plays, make Trinidad Chambliss be uncomfortable, and if they get the ball, try to play a little bit of keep away with that electric offense of Ole Miss.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be the best live betting game in terms of back and forth and high scoring Thursday night when we're back, but I'm looking forward to this game. It's going to be really good. I'll say this, Tim. This is not the bold prediction or a hot take. The winner of Oregon-Indiana is going to be your national champ.
All right.
Do you agree or disagree?
I think Miami might have a say in the matter.
Well, Miami's going to have home field.
They will.
If the Hurricanes win.
If Miami wins, that is worth noting. The game will be played at their home stadium, and maybe their fans will actually show up if they do play that one. By the way, Texas Tech hitting a big three. 4-point lead for the Red Raiders, 10:40 to go. And I'm sure Dustin Sweetelson will be following this game closely. If you want our best bets, over at VSiN.com, all of our hosts and guests, also exclusive betting splits from from DraftKings and Circa. Check out our intro offer, which you can start as a VSiN Pro subscriber for as little as $9.99. You get full access to all of our tools over there, including the AI player props, which I'm sure many of you will be looking to bet Wildcard Weekend. Get involved for as little as $9.99, vsin.com/subscribe. Busy night of college basketball, impressive performance by the Duke Blue Devils, and also impressive until the final play by Penn State, who gets the cover, an almost outright upset of the Michigan Wolverines. Thanks to Nate Tice, Jeff Sherman, Glenn Clark, Bruce Marshall, Matt Grill, and David Behrman. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Cashing out with Dustin Sweetelson coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.